grab our Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 47. Jeremiah, chapter 47. Jeremiah, chapter 47 this morning. Need to borrow a Bible, you can lift your hand up. We may have a few extra in the back. You can borrow one. Does anybody need to borrow a Bible this morning? Fellas, are you watching? Okay. Okay, anybody else? Jeremiah chapter 47. You have any other Bibles back there? Come up here, Josue, and help share with these boys. Seems to be a lack of Bibles here. Right, I guess we have a few. I have to come down here and share with Samuel. Samuel's on the other side. Well, I mean, you had to give it to him. I mean, share it with him. We're only reading one verse, son. Jeremiah 47:5. Jeremiah 47:5. If you have that, let's stand and stretch. Jeremiah 47:5. Oh, you have an extra Bible. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know you had an extra Bible. Jeremiah 47:5. The Bible says this: baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. Notice this statement: how long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou cut thyself? I'll read that verse one more time. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? And that's going to be the title of our sermon this morning. And let's pray. And you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless this morning now, Father. Bless the folks that have come. And do a great work now, Father. This message will be a little bit different than what I normally preach on Sunday morning, Father. I pray that you bless it now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You won't need your pens. There won't be any point to this sermon this morning. Jeremiah 47:5. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? And I looked at this passage earlier in the week, and this is a wonderful passage. I actually had another sermon I was going to preach today, and maybe I'll preach it next week, but I put it off. And I'm going to preach this message this morning because that statement jumped out at me. How long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou cut thyself? It is not unusual to go out to the east. I'm not talking about the eastern United States necessarily, but to the eastern part of the world, and to see this scene take place, and other places too. But to see a common scene take place where you have people cutting themselves with knives, slashing their bodies, cutting themselves. I'm not talking about committing suicide. I'm talking about just cutting themselves with knives. They slit themselves. Have blood rushing down from their arms or from a leg or maybe from even a cheek, and slitting themselves in that manner to shed some blood. Not unusual to see that. Cutting themselves with a knife or a sword of some kind in doing that. It's usually an exhibit in front of maybe crowds, and what they're doing oftentimes is showing people that they are inflicting pain upon themselves. Maybe a ritual of penance of some kind. People do that. It goes on lots of places in the world, folks. Lots of places in the world. People are doing that. And oftentimes, maybe some certain quote-unquote prophets coming to visit some certain area, people will line the streets and try to get the attention of that prophet by doing this sort of activity to try to show their prophet, whoever it may be, in whatever case it is, the dedication that they have to their religion, the dedication they have to the belief system of that prophet, quote unquote, their dedication. So they cut themselves to do that, even spear themselves sometimes and so forth in different parts of their body and so forth. They will cut themselves and try to put themselves in a position of where they're inflicting pain upon themselves and letting the blood flow upon the white sheets as simply a show of blood flowing from their bodies. Now, the truth is they're trying to gain the attention of a religious leader and to do penance, but they're doing it all wrong. Amen. It's not found in the Bible that we're supposed to be doing anything like that. You recall the story on Mount Carmel when Elijah was praying down the fire from God. Remember, it was him against the prophets of Baal. Baal prophets prayed first. Did they ever get fire to fall from their god Baal? No, they didn't. They had a lot of trouble, didn't they? But do you remember the story? And I mentioned this before when I've preached on many occasions. I've even preached on the story itself, and I'm not going to focus on that today, but I just want to mention it for a minute. Remember they used, lancets and other things, knives and so forth, to cut themselves. Remember they danced around on the altar, and they cut themselves because they were hoping it would gain favor with their quote-unquote god or their god of Baal. Now, Baal wasn't nothing but a stupid statue. Wasn't no god at all, but they were dedicated to their cause, no doubt, by doing these things to themselves. But they were trying to gain the attention of their quote-unquote god by doing this, and so it was a dedication they were making to their religion, if you will. And so they cut themselves. So why would anybody do that? Well, they thought that they would gain attention and that he would answer their prayers and that he would send fire down if they were doing that, in this particular story anyway. That's what their goal was. That's what they thought was going to happen. And so they thought, well, we're going to go to the extremes to get this fire to fall. And so in those days, by the way, it was not an unusual thing or uncommon thing at all to be seen to be done. It was a predominance of heathen religions in the area there, outside of anyone basically who wasn't a part of the nation of Israel. What was the nation of Israel to be? Believers in God. Of course, they had a besetting sin that kept falling into some of this idol worship from these heathen people that were all around them. But the heathens around them, a lot of them practiced things like this. It was commonplace to do those things, to hurt themselves, to inflict pain on themselves in order to try to gain some kind of favor or merit. And so it was not an unusual or uncommon thing for these pagans to do, to cut themselves. And it is not, it's probably more uncommon now, but it still takes place today in this world of ours. By the way, it was forbidden. Completely forbidden, that was, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Don't look it up for time's sake, but I'll read it to you. The Bible says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor imprint any marks upon you. I am the Lord." By the way, that's also why it's in Scripture to go get tattoos, too. Amen, preacher. Not supposed to be making any cuttings or markings in your flesh. So it's unscriptural. And God didn't want you to have a tattoo, amen. That's against the Bible. If you have one, there may be nothing you can do about it. But if you don't have one, you ought to be smart enough to not go get one. Or if you got one, you better be smart enough to not go get another one. Now, the story. Get the story of our scripture today in Jeremiah 47:5. The prophet speaking to the Philistines who were about to feel the sword of God, which would not rest in its scabbard for days and weeks and months. God was about to unsheath his sword. God was about to pour out his judgment and wrath upon the Philistine nation. The Bible lists several figures of speech symbolizing that God is about to judge them. The prophet was saying this, "Look, I know you don't have to be judged by God." I know you don't have to be judged by God, but you don't have to feel... Or what he's saying is you don't have to feel the cutting edge of God's sword. You don't have to do that. It's not something you have to do. You don't have to go through that. The prophet was saying this, meaning Jeremiah. He was saying, look at the cause of infliction that you are bringing upon yourself. You are inflicting this punishment upon yourself. You don't have to, amen. You don't have to die. You don't have to have your children go hungry. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to be punished. You could do something. You could turn toward God and ask for mercy. You could do that. And that's what he preached to him. He told him you could come to God. God would have mercy on you. God would heal your land and forgive your sin, because he'll accept anybody that comes to him, and he will go ahead and heal them if they come to him and turn to him. So he was trying to let them know this. So it was hard for Jeremiah to watch the Philistines as they were headed towards this sword of God coming down in the form of judgment. Jeremiah had seen people leave God before. Jeremiah had seen people turn from God before. Jeremiah knew what was down the road. He knew the wrath that was coming. He knew the judgment of God. Jeremiah asked the question, how long wilt thou cut thyself, O Philistines? This is the destruction of the Philistines going to take place here. That's what the Bible's teaching here. It's coming. Jeremiah's, God's giving them a chance to get some warning from Jeremiah, even them. Even them who's not Israel, even them who's been an enemy to Israel, but he's telling them, hey, listen, you can still come to God. You can still turn to God. There's still a chance. If you just do it, you won't have to go through with this. And so Jeremiah asked the question to him, how long wilt thou cut thyself? O Philistines, God's wrath is coming. How long are you going to cut yourself? Philistines, oh, how long are you going to cut thyself? Oh, Philistines, if you stay in your sins, the judgment of God's going to come. How long are you going to cut yourself? Over and over and over again, Jeremiah would repeat, how long wilt thou cut thyself? Huh. Boy, I know as a preacher, I've felt the same thing sometimes dealing with people. How long are you going to cut yourself? How long? How long? How long, folks? I've been preaching for almost 17 years. I've been pastor of this church for 10 and a half, closing in on 11 years. I've seen a lot of people cutting themselves. I've seen hundreds of people flirting with God and then flirting with sin. And I know the consequences of wrong. I know the evil judgment that God can bring down upon those who choose to stay in sin and choose to flirt with sin. The Bible says this in Psalms 103, verse 9. He says, he will not always chide. He also says in Numbers 32:23, your sin will find you out. You can flirt with it. You can try to hide it. You can try to keep it to yourself. But the truth is, God knows exactly what you're involved with. God knows exactly what you're doing. How long are you going to cut yourself? Seen them go down. Seen young people get messed up, get involved in the world's crowd, seen them get messed up, flirting with sin, seen how they wreck their lives. See, I know I've seen what's down the road. Most young people can't see past the end of their nose, but I've seen what's down the road that mess their lives up. Step by step, getting in deeper and deeper. Step by step, young people. Step by step, even older people. Maybe they turned to God a little bit and then it went away from God. But you better turn to God all the way, because I know how it turns out. It turns out good for those that turn to God. It turns out bad for those that don't. I've seen how bad it is. How long wilt thou cut thyself? How long wilt thou cut thyself? How long are you going to inflict upon yourself? How long? How long? By the way, it's sort of discouraging when you know you got a remedy that can cure somebody, and they don't want to take it. It's discouraging. It's discouraging. It's discouraging. But people don't want to take the remedy. They don't want to listen. That's what Jeremiah was. He was warning them. And he said, how long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to cut thyself? How long are you going to continue here? You're slicing your own throat. How long are you going to do it? Better stop. I've had people that I've stood before, and I've told them, I said, I know I can help you. And they've claimed they've wanted help, but I said, I know I've got the remedy. I know what you can do. I know what you can do to take care of this. But I couldn't administer the remedy because they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't swallow the pill, amen, so to speak. They wouldn't take the remedy. They wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't take it. It's discouraging when that happens. It's kind of like, I mean, you got somebody dying of pneumonia, and you got a penicillin shot that'll take care of it right in your hand, amen, in the form of the Bible and the words of God, and it could cure the whole thing, and they won't take it. He's going to die from pneumonia, spiritual pneumonia. Just going to die from it. Awful hard to watch somebody die with high blood pressure when you got high blood pressure pills they could take that would help them out. Awful hard to watch somebody die from a blood transfusion or die from a blood disease when you give them a blood transfusion that'll help them. Amen. It's awfully hard for a preacher to live like that, having to watch people that refuse to do what they need to do to take care of the problem. How long are you going to cut thyself? How long? How long are you going to cut yourself, young person? How long are you going to plunge headlong towards a life of misery, heartache, heartbreak, ruin? I've seen them time after time after time again, but the answer is still found in the Word of God. Amen. It's still there. I've seen families move, people move, just to go to some better climate. And I've seen how it's turned out. I've seen them move for a better job or for a better promotion. And I've seen how it's turned out. They've gone liberal. They've gotten away from living for God like they used to. They've got themselves in a basket. I can't hardly think of anybody ever moved from here, and there hadn't been tons, but there's been quite a few. And I can't think of any of them that they're better off where they're at. In fact, I know about most of them, and they're worse off. And probably would have been better off if they would have just stayed right here living for God like they were when they was here. It's a shame. It's going to happen, though, if people don't turn to God and live for God like they should. Moms, dads, amen. You listen to me. Go ahead and say, well, why we don't want to live here, preacher? Because we don't like the winners. You know what? I don't like the winners here either. Bless God, if it wasn't for the work of God, I wouldn't live here. But because it's where God wants me to be, this is where I'm going to be. Now, I grew up here. I thought there was just this way everywhere. I lived somewhere else. I said, praise God, there's places that ain't like this. Why in the world does anybody live here? And then I come back here because God wants me back here. And I'm content being where God wants me to be. Amen. Amen. So I'm tired of snow. Well, that's right. We're not praying about it in July, but we are now. We're just saying this. Hope this weather holds out. Amen. It's December 2nd, and it's actually halfway nice out. We hope it stays this way till February 2nd. Amen. You can have 2 weeks of winter and let it go away. People make mistakes by doing their own thing all the time instead of turning to God. How long would I cut that self? So, oh, preacher, you don't know. Listen, I do know. I deal with people all the time. I've dealt with people for years, different people. People come and they say, preacher, my boy's going to the devil. They need help. You're not the one that deals with people like that. I am. You're not the one that has people come in and say, what can I do for my child, preacher? What can I do? Over the years, and it's been a while, praise the Lord, I praise God, I hope it never happens again. But if it does, it does, and I'll do what I can to help. But, you know, years ago, I mean, we had, you know, people just aren't married, just coming up pregnant. That's a disaster. Especially when they're a teenager. That's a disaster. Now, we can still help them, but guess what? Let's try to stop them from getting to that point. Yeah, right. Amen? Because it ain't good. It ain't good. And by the way, anytime we ever had anybody come out like that, there's only two I can think of that didn't stay in the church. They should have, but they didn't. They didn't. We could have helped them, but they wanted to do it their own way. Wanted to do it their own way. One had the mother involved in trying to help them. The mother was impossible to get any help to this kid. But you know, what do they want? And in one particular case, it had a parent that was endorsing the whole thing. Thought it was just fine. That's sick. That's sick. When you got a 16-year-old kid and you think it's just fine. Now, if it's there, it's there, and you got to deal with it. And what you want them to do is you want them to do the right thing, because you can't stop what's coming. And praise God, it's a baby, and God loves babies. And everybody ought to love babies, and you ought to take care of those babies. But what you want to try to do is try to stop it from happening. What you want to try to do is try to stop it from getting to that point. And that's why we need to get to the place where we start living for God. Say, well, the world just ain't that way. Well, I don't give a flip about the world, bless God. What about the Bible? Why don't we start living for God? You know what? There's a lot of things that I did that I wish I wouldn't have done in my life, but I'll tell you what, I can stop my kids from doing them as best I can and try to get them to do what's right, and I'm going to do the best thing I can to try to help your kids do what's right and what's best for them. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad there's one person agrees with me. Praise the Lord. And well, two of us agree. Amen. I know my wife agrees in the silent majority over there. So now there's three of us that agree. Amen. We want them to do what's right. How long wilt thou cut thyself? We don't want teenagers cutting themselves. We don't want adults cutting themselves. Why would you want to inflict upon yourself these problems and heartaches that come? You see, I don't believe it. I know you like a teenager. Your parents don't believe it either, just like they don't. And you don't want to take advice, amen? But I'm telling you, I can help you, amen, if you listen to the things that are preached and taught from this pulpit, amen? I can help you, amen? If you learn to live for God, you learn how to live a righteous life, I can help you. I'm telling you, I've been on both sides of the fence, amen? And I tell you what, it's a whole lot better on this side, bless God. I found that out the hard way, amen? So my wife, but you know what? It's a whole lot better on this side. I can help you. How long will they cut thyself? Go ahead and be an idiot. But you're only cutting yourself. You're only hurting yourself. How long wilt thou cut thyself, mom and dad? How long wilt thou cut thyself, teenager? How long wilt thou cut thyself, child? How long wilt thou cut thyself, old person? How long wilt thou cut thyself? So we don't know what it's like to be a teenager these days. Sure I do. Got five kids. Two of them are still teenagers. Had one's been a teenager. He's an adult now. He's 21. He's going to be 22. I've seen what it's like. And I'll tell you what. I hope my other ones turn out as well. But I do promise you this, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or my wife's, but I'll challenge you to find a finer young man than my son at age 21. Clean and pure. Never touched a woman. And he ain't till he gets married at the altar. He wouldn't have got that way if he wouldn't have been raised the way my wife and I raised him. Because I've seen it the other way, and I realized a long time ago I don't need no sense in cutting myself, amen. Don't need to be cutting my throat. Don't need to be cutting my wife's throat. Don't need to be cutting my kid's throat. Bless God. I've seen young people want to have a fling. I've watched them by the bunches, amen. By the way, the devil has no new methods, folks. Today, young people go into sin, use the same little routine that they used 15 years ago when I was just resigning from the sheriff's office. Same thing. Same methods. The devil still works and operates in the same way. The devil still puts, they say, I've got to find out for myself. Yeah, brother. The devil put those words in your mouth, too. Word for word. Listen, don't be foolish. A lot of older people have already found out some of those things around here. We realize, hey, you're just a fool if you fall for some of those traps. Because we're telling you. Say, well, I don't know about it. That's why we got you here, bless God, because we're telling you, amen. Stay away from that stuff. Amen. Stay away from that stuff. I've watched them come in messed up. I've dealt with them. I dealt, when I was a deputy sheriff, I dealt with them with their stinking life that was a disaster. Amen. We was taking them to prison because they started out as a messed up kid that become a messed up adult. And guess where they go? They go to prison. That's where they go. As a pastor, I've seen them as a messed up. I know the destination for those that choose that path in life. I've seen young ladies that yield their principles to get a husband. And I've waved the flag and I've warned about it. And I've seen young ladies who in an effort to get a boyfriend will compromise themselves because they're afraid they can't get a boyfriend. Bless God, you don't need a boyfriend right now, bless God. Let the buzzard go on to hell like he wants to. Amen. Amen. Some boy comes along, he puts his hands on you, you ought to slap him. Bless God. Keep his filthy hands to himself. Amen. Amen. I know some of you don't like this. It's because you might be the one on the other end of that, but I wouldn't like it either if I was you, I guess. You got to be careful. I've seen young people go with the wrong crowd. I've heard young ladies, even young adult ladies, say, I'll get him saved, preacher. I'll get him saved. Doesn't work very often. Very well. Doesn't work. Well, but I'm going to push someone one time. But he talked to me so nice at work. Talked to me so nice at work. Yeah. The problem was it was already married to somebody else, bless God. Before long, guess what? They talked to him so nice at work, all right? Pretty soon they was divorced from them and getting married to them later on. And they weren't even saved. But he was always treated me so nice. He was so kind at work. Yeah. First time it got that far, you should have said, all right, I'm not talking on this side anymore. Can you move my desk to another spot in the room so I'm not next to this person anymore? Because I don't want them talking to me because I got a husband, and bless God, and I'm supposed to be faithful to my husband.
Amen.
That's what God wants. I know it's not popular preaching, but sometimes we got to say these things because it should be obvious, but unfortunately it's not. The world just wants to sweep it all under the carpet and snicker and say, oh, it's just the way life is. Listen, people's lives are messed up by that stuff.
Right.
A lot of people in this room have seen that kind of thing or gone through it themselves, and they realize better now. God wants you to listen. Pay attention, because I know what I'm talking about, amen? I'm not some novice who's green behind the ears, wet behind the ears. I'm not real old, but I'm not real young anymore. You know, I'm almost 40 years old. And you know what? When I was 20, I thought somebody that was 40, that was about dead, wasn't it? And if you were 60, you were just finished. Now it's not so old anymore. But I also realized something else. My wife and I realized we're not so young anymore. I said, man, we're about 40 years old. We're getting old.
Amen.
Ancient. That's right. No, that's you, ancient. But listen, how long will I cut thyself? How long will I cut thyself? Don't go down that road. Don't go down that path. I've seen the families get messed up. I've seen them later come back and weep about it. I've tried to help them. And then they get mad at me at the end. Well, you should have stopped this. Well, bus got to preach like this and you didn't do nothing about it. Then you come back crying and then you say, well, how come you didn't stop us from making such a dumb decision? Don't talk, boys. What do you mean stop you from making such a dumb decision? How was I supposed to stop you? I preached right at you, bless God, and you just sit there and looked at me like I was dumb. What do you want me to do? I can't run your house. How was I supposed to stop you? You're an adult, bless God. I can't stop you from doing nothing. Truth is, I can't stop these kids from doing nothing if they don't live in my household. All I can do is try to help warn them, try to help warn the parents. They get mad and say, you should have stopped this. Well, I can't stop you. I preached. I could see where they got mad if I'd have never preached nothing. But I preach like this on a regular basis, folks. Not the same sermon, but I preach regularly on this. I can't do anything to stop nobody other than just warn you. What was Jeremiah doing to the Philistines? Chapter 47, he was warning them of the coming destruction. That's why he said, how long will thou cut thyself? Because he said, you're slicing yourself, Philistines. That's why you're cutting yourself. Just like them people that cut themselves to try to do penance and so forth. Just cutting yourself, just injuring yourself. How long are you going to do it? How long are you going to cut yourself? I've seen people for almost 11 years now casually drop out of church. Here and there. Start missing here. Start missing there. Pretty soon they don't even go to church anymore at all. Children going to the devil. And the devil's for that, by the way. He's for that. He's for that. That's why he works that way. That's why he works that way. Let me tell you something. You may not like this. You may get mad, but I'm going to say it for your sake, amen. When it comes to knowing what happens to kids who start down the wrong road, there's probably not too many more people in this room that know much more about it than I do. I've seen it in a lot of different avenues. I was a cop before. I've seen it that way. I've been a preacher long enough. I've seen it that way. I've lived just long enough to be able to see enough of it to see what happens on the other end of it. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. As a pastor, I see it. And as a former cop, I used to see it. It's a disaster. Stay away from it. Stay away from that path. Get away from that road. Don't keep cutting yourself. So, boy, you really think you're something, preacher, don't you? No, I don't. I think I care. about you, and I care about your kids, and I care about them not doing what they shouldn't be doing, or about them doing what's right. Any doctor who wouldn't tell you how to take care of yourself when you're sick wouldn't be a doctor at all of any good. He would be a physician of absolutely no value to you whatsoever. And so the truth of the matter is, I'm a spiritual doctor when you come in here, and my job is to try to help you. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you. Any lawyer who can't say to you, I can represent you adequately in court, they're not a good lawyer. Any cook who says, I'm not sure I can feed you, you may die of poisoning from my food, they're not a good cook, amen? They're not a good cook. So the truth of the matter is, I'm saying, I know I can help you. I know I can try to help keep you from the right from the wrong things. If you will listen and pay attention, amen? It's time for God's people to listen to God's men across our nation, amen? It's time. There was a time for a change, amen? It's time for a change, all right? It's time for a change in America that people will get back to listen to the men of God again. Time for the men of God to get back to preaching the word of God again. And that's what it's time for, a change for. It's time for a change for that. Amen. It's time for the change where the pulpits will be set afire once again. It's time for you to burn your dirty Dr. Phil books. And instead of giving them away, just burn them. Amen. I wouldn't listen to anything that guy has to say. Send them back to hell where they came from. Time for you ladies to quit reading these ladies' home journal psychology articles that try to tell you nothing but a bunch of craziness and rotten filth in there. Start listening to the man of God. Start listening to the word of God. Start listening to the truths of God. That's what God wants. It's time for you to come to the prophet of God and say, prophet of God, tell me how I can rear my kids to turn out right. People drop out. I've seen them drop out of Wednesday night church. Then they start missing Sunday nights. Then they don't even come on Sunday mornings after a while. And then they just drop out all together, and you don't know where in the world they're at. How long can you cut themselves? How long will thou cut thyself? I've seen it. Young people take their first drink. They become social drinkers. And we're caught up in this mad generation of liquor drinking. Liquor drinking that runs like a river. Like a river. Like a river. They can't even have a stinking restaurant hardly anymore don't serve liquor. Gotta have liquor in everything. I'm telling you, you don't need that liquor. You don't need that. Every company Christmas party seems like it's got to have liquor involved with it. It seems like it. Amen. They turn into drunks, some of them, eventually. Be better off if you just don't even take your first drink. Right. Be a whole lot better off. But I've seen the trail where it ends. I've seen them where they first take the first drink, and I've seen them on the other end where they can't even keep themselves stood upright. Where they can't even handle themselves. Where they can't even, you know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I've seen it. Wreck lives, ruin lives. I've seen the Naomis who turned from pleasant to bitter because they went to the land of Moab. I've seen the Samsons grinding at the mill because they flirted with the pleasures of sin for a season. I've heard them groan as they go round and round, grinding, grinding, feeling for their eyes that are missing now because they're plucked out by the enemy. I've seen the Davids weeping at little boys' graves. I've seen them as they say, he cannot come back to me, but I will go to him. Seen them. Seen them follow the horses to Babyland. Seen them. Seen them because of their sinfulness. Because of their sinfulness. I can remember, I won't even get into a lot of detail about it, but I can just remember back when I lived down south, having to go to a baby's funeral. And it was all because the people wouldn't listen to the man of God. And if they would have, it wouldn't most likely have happened at all. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it wouldn't most likely have happened at all. What a shame. I've seen the lots choose the well-watered plains towards Sodom, knowing what would happen. I've seen them as they go and get themselves in sin. Eventually sodomy. How did it start? They mix and mingle with sodomites. That's how come. They get to the place where, oh, it's this day more than any age it's ever been, of acceptability and acceptance. Wait a minute. My book teaches me to love the sinner, not the sin. Right. And it is a sin. People are not born that way. People are born the way that everybody... Hey, listen. You ain't never seen two bulls going off with each other. Amen? You ain't never seen that. You ain't never seen two tomcats going off with each other. Amen? That ain't how it works, bless God. So they ain't born that way. They ain't no different than them animals, amen? It was Adam and Eve, amen, in the Garden of Eden. That's how God created. That's how God intended. Ain't nobody been born any other way. Only by the perversions of the human mind has it become the other way. And it used to be that they were hidden in a closet somewhere in society, and now it's that they're up there and they're wanting to hide us who believe this way in a closet somewhere. But I'm telling you what, it ain't going to happen here. They can take me out, they can stone me to death, they can burn me at the stake, but bless God, I ain't never going to accept that and say it's just okay. I'll be glad to talk to any of them and tell about Jesus Christ and how to be saved at any time. And we've had them here before. And we've had them saved before. But I tell you what, never will I ever give any indication of any acceptance for that, because the Bible teaches it's a sin. It's a sin. It's a perversion of what God had intended. A husband and wife. The devil hates God, folks. What does he do? He perverts everything that God creates. What's the first institution God created? The home. What's the home? A mother and a father who reproduce children. You tell me what two guys reproduce. You tell me what two ladies reproduce. Nothing. Only sin. They can only recruit. They cannot reproduce. Period. So all they can do is recruit somebody in that lifestyle. I've seen them. And I've warned them. And I said, listen, watch out for that. Your kid, you get your kid around that. I don't care if it's some relative of yours or not. You get your kid around that. Bless God, you better watch out, because I'll tell you what, your kid's going to turn into a queer. Amen. Oh, no, preacher, not my kid. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, I've seen them. I've seen them, and I think other ones are probably heading that way, and it's a shame. But I've warned them. I've tried to warn them. I've tried to stop them from going that way. They mix and mingle with the sodomites just like Lot did with his family, and it ruined them. I've seen the lots that become rich and prestigious. I've seen them where the judgment comes, where they got their wives end up becoming a pillar of salt later on. Not literally, but figuratively. I've seen the lots in Zoar. I've seen them where they messed up. I've seen the Moabs and the Ammons playing in the front yard. I've heard the wail and the cry of the lots who look back over life and lament the fact that they didn't listen to God's man. They didn't do what they're supposed to do. And they messed up. I've seen the Absaloms. The Absaloms who were disloyal, unfaithful. What was his fate in the end? Hanging from a tree. With two arrows sticking through him. A rebel he was. I've seen the Jacobs weeping at Bethel. Lonely and forsaken. They could not stay at home because of their sin. The Judas Iscariots fling their bodies down the hillsides. Suicides. That's where that stuff leads. The devil's cup, it tastes good at first, but it's bitter in the end. But they get you to swallow that stuff. You better look out. I know the devil's drink sparkles like new wine. But wait till you get down to the dregs of it. You'll be sorry you ever took a taste of it, bless God.
Right. Amen.
I've seen the people like Ananias and Sapphira rob God. And that's why I plead with people to tithe, give tithes and offerings to the house of God. Because when you're robbing God, you're putting yourself only where you could end up with a fate like theirs one day. Those who tithe live a long life. Those who don't sometimes have their life shortened. I've seen the Ananias and Sapphiras lie to God, make commitments, and not follow through with him. What a shame. But I've seen them. I've seen their pain. I've seen their suffering. I've seen their anguish. I've seen their heartache because they robbed God. I've seen the Mahlons and the Chilions who died in Moab in their youth because of what? Sin. I've seen the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, figuratively speaking, of course, many of these things. What happened with Jezebel? She wouldn't repent. Who she wouldn't turn to was who? God. Baal worshiper. How long will thou cut thyself? I've seen the prodigal sons and daughters by the dozens. Oh, if people would just listen to the preacher. I know these sermons don't make friends out of some of you. But if I have to make an enemy out of a few of you just to try to help somebody, I'll do it. Because it's important that you listen. It's important that you stay away from that filthy, sinful lifestyle that's dangling out there in front of you. It's important to realize that Jesus has saved your soul, bless God. And if he saved your soul, amen, you've got the power in you now to be able to overcome those things and be able to live for God, to live a Christian life. They're out there. Those who won't listen, those who have the heartache, parents who wouldn't listen, parents who have heartaches. I know somebody says, "Well, you're out of date preaching like this. This is 2012. Got to get up to date." Well, that's the problem. Too many people are up to date. If they were preaching the old time way, we'd have a nation that was the way it used to be 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. That's the problem. That's the problem. People won't listen. I've heard it. I've seen it. I wonder why people won't listen. How long will thou cut thyself? How long will thou cut thyself? Kids, how long are you going to cut yourselves? How long are you going to cut yourselves? How long are you going to listen to the dirty advertisements on television that will entice you into the filthy things of this world? How long are you going to watch those dirty, filthy shows? Filth. 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 So a filth. And some of you let your kids intake that junk for 3 and 4 and 5 hours a day. Right. All the time. It's filth. I can't even watch the commercials. To watch a football game last night, you got to turn the channel. I just keep looking for a football game, bless God, because that's all I want to watch is football just for a little bit, because I don't normally watch television. It's nothing but filth on those commercials. The advertisements for the other shows are filthy. Filthy, filthy, filthy. You know it's the truth, bless God. You may not like it because you watch that junk, but it's true. And I don't care if you like it or not, it's still the truth, bless God. How long are you going to cut yourself watching hours and hours and hours of that stuff? It's no wonder people falling into sin. It's no wonder everybody's running off with somebody else's wife. It's no wonder, bless God. I know I've shocked a few of you with this sermon. Because it's something I'd probably sooner preach on Sunday night. But listen to me. I care about you. I care about your family. That's why sometimes I got to preach one of these on Sunday morning, because you need to hear this sometimes. And it's not that I preach this every Sunday night. In fact, tonight's sermon you'll probably think belonged in this morning slot. But the truth of the matter is, I care about you. How long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to cut yourself? Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your family, dads? Do you care? And I'm not a song and dance preacher, amen. I know you're not always going to agree with everything I say all the time, but bless God, I'm trying to help you. Because I want you and your family to have the best. I want you parents to be able to have a child that grows up that's clean and pure and ought to be kept until they get to the wedding altar for that future mate of theirs one day. That's what's right, folks. That's what the Bible is. That's my goal for, I've got 5 kids, that's my goal for every one of my kids, is to get themselves to that wedding altar and they're clean and pure until that day they're married. That's my goal. Any parent who's in here doesn't have that goal for their kids, you're crazy. Do you not love them? Do you think it's all right just to be having sex with a bunch of people you're not married with, from person to person? How many people's wives do you want your kids having sex with? How many people's husbands do you want your kid having sex with? Hopefully none. So, well, they're not married. Yeah, but they will be one day. But they may be married to somebody else. So the only person they should be having sex with is the person they're going to get married to one day. And so it ought to be when they get down here, because who knows who they'll get married to. So, well, they're so in love with each other, it'll be okay. Oh, they're getting married in 6 months. What if they don't? Amen. That's why God had a plan. Amen. He said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. That's what he said. He's talking about till they get down there to the altar. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.